Okay, so we have this is on Parasha Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayitel Moshe Chalos Daber Tavar Sinai Shnuchos Edus, to which page 531. So it says over here that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. He went out for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came down with the Luchos. So the Ibn Ezra comments to the following: Vayitel. Reke moach yitmuhu. Empty-headed people wonder, ma also Moshe b'har boi v'varum layla. What could Moshe have possibly been doing 4 days and 40 nights on the mountain? V'lo yedu. They don't realize, im yamoit sham Hashem kimispa zeh v'keifo kifle shnayim. If they were to stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu 40 days times 40 times 40, they wouldn't know 1,000 of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's drachim and anhagis. Now, those are, so this point is kind of an obvious point. The Torah is infinite, and the amount of information that we could possibly give over is negligible, and so on. But then he adds one more piece, and this is explaining why people have a mistake about Torah and that leads to a question like that. They think that the main thing that Kach Baruch Hu wants from us is the Maisa. So if I'm giving somebody instruction in how to assemble a chair or a table, those instructions are quite finite and they should be over with. You know, screw this to this, hold this to here, add a few more lines of explanation, but that's it. So if Torah is simply a manual of how to do mitzvahs, then finished. I mean, just there's a limit to it. But he says, Ki yachshavu ka meiser ha'ikah. They think that it's the act itself that's the ikah. The einenu, rak halevav, the heart in it, is the ikar. Vamaisa valeva valoshin lehargil. These are three words I have not found a good explanation of what these three words mean. I would dare guess that there's a mistake in the girsa, and it's venera kaleva vamaisa valoshin lehargil. I would take out that valeva. I haven't found it, so I'm not going to do it. But basically, his point is it is the understanding that really matters, and it's the actions that are there just as a means to bring about an understanding. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. The Rambam writes that the main thing of mitzvahs is to teach us certain lessons, which in some ways everyone agrees. But it sounds kind of very, very minimizing the point of a mitzvah. So when I'm giving a little lecture for kiddies about doing something good, so I may demonstrate one or two things. I'll have everybody put their arms on each other and say, we're friends, and that sort of demonstrates friendship. But in those cases, I mean, once a person is past a certain point, the act really becomes unnecessary or whatever. That version of things is kind of kfira. It's what many non-religious people started with by saying, okay, the Torah is going to teach us a lesson about freedom. That's a lesson well taken. But then, you know, you don't got to be fanatical about it. I mean, we'll read and discuss and talk on Pesach about freedom. If we can get matzahs, good. If the price is right, good. If the matzahs are horrendously tasting and overly priced, well, we'll find something, some other symbol. You know, when we talk about a symbol for something, that's always kind of very negotiable. So many things can be a symbol for freedom, and Isha Yashav Einav Yaseh. The Rambam in Sefer in Morah writes a lot along the lines of as if the mitzvah is to teach you. But the truth is, it's teaching in a much more profound way. It's not just kind of a little prop for a lecture. It's an experience that the living through the experience leaves you with a certain type of knowledge that you can't get by having a little speech and so on and so forth. And even so, it's an appropriate idea to spur you to think more about what you're doing and understand what you're doing. It is inappropriate to negate any what you're doing. So as much as you want to say here, the purpose of Torah mitzvahs is the understanding that you gain and the knowledge and the depth, but it's certainly not a replacement for doing. That's pashut. V'sheiresh kol ha-mitzvahs, the root of all mitzvahs is ad sheyaves Hashem chol nafshi v'yadavik boi, that a person will love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it, with all his heart and cling to him. V'zeh lo yesh shalem im lo yakim ma'is Hashem b'al yoyinim v'shfalem v'yed adrachav. Let's talk about this and let's ponder it. There are many people who have a very strong emotional tie to Judaism or spirituality in general. They're kind of very spiritual people, and they really kind of they're like in ecstasy when they're singing hymns to the glory of the Lord and whatever religion they'll be in. You see the look of ecstasy on their face, and they're ecstatic, and they're sort of in a spiritual world, and so on and so forth. And they say, we love God, or whatever it is. And they knock anybody who is more intellectual, as it's nothing wrong with knowing stuff, but really that's not love of God, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Nachman doesn't say that. He says, I mean, he specifically says not like that. He says, if the purpose of loving God, if the purpose of all mitzvahs is to love God, then he needs to recognize his ma'isim. Let's talk about this. Let's explain this. Imagine you, two people that you have a relationship with, two friends, one of whom is a fellow who has this kind of, I don't know what word to say, he's like a fan. And there's this, wow, you're great, you're fantastic, I wouldn't leave you for anything in the world, I'll do anything, I'll jump the fire because you're the greatest, most fantastic, the most wonderful, and so on and so forth. That's one friend. The second friend is somebody who actually understands things the way you understand it. You have conversations with him that you're both able to communicate with a lot of depth and a lot of mutual understanding. You both think alike and understand alike and understand each other. But this guy is not so willing. He doesn't have this look on his face of sheer ecstasy and willing to jump in fire for you. But which is a close relationship? The first relationship, that infatuation, it's not a real closeness. Yes, it's sort of an exterior adulation, but I can't say a close bond with somebody that doesn't get me, and we don't think alike in any way. We don't have any commonness in our perception of things and understanding of things. There's no closeness there, despite all the fact that the person is yelling or screaming his undying love. It's an infatuation of sorts, and maybe some may not be some, but it certainly doesn't come anywhere to the other person. If a person has this, in a mitzvah, he has this sense of, are we, they need us there?
They're all here.
They're all here. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
So the closeness. So certainly closeness is when you have this deep inner connection where you feel that there's a mutual level of understanding. Our sense, if we look around and ask ourselves, our closest friends, we may enjoy the company of people that are funny, charismatic, whatever, but closeness are the people that we think alike and we see things alike and that bonds people in a very mutual way. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, it's certainly not possible to put arms around each other. That's not shaykh. And the only thing that really, so even a ma'isa is of limited value within itself. The only place in which we can actually bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by understanding as he understands. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed something in the Bria called Chachmaso Yisparach. This is the way within the framework of this world, that things are to be understood, known. The more I am in sync with that, the closer I am to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the closer there's the real Ava. This is a Zuzilius Shalom Yakim Isasham Balyan Shal Yere Drachov. The Kochamanam, this is what the Nabi said, Kim Bezoisis Halaham is Halal, Haskel Vyodor Osi. The only thing worth praising oneself for, congratulating oneself for, is the knowledge of Hashem. Oz Yizbaralo Kashem Ose Chesed Mishasaka Baretz. Then it becomes clear to him that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that does Chesed Mishpat and Saka Baretz. Lo yuchal ladas Hashem, im lo yedo nafshoi v'nishmasei v'gufo. And then he adds another line here that's really incredible. You can't know a Kadosh Baruch Hu if you don't know yourself. Now, let's talk about this. There's so much of Nezer is so laconic, and there's so much he puts into it. He says, ki chol mishal yedo musnafshoi chachas maloi. This understanding has two parts that I think. One is, there is no way we can think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu straightforward. It's just like every chachma, anytime I'm dealing with something outside of my realm of prior knowledge, I need some muscle to extrapolate from. I say, if I don't know what honey is, someone tells me, well, if you know what glue is, it looks like glue. If you know what sugar tastes like, it sort of tastes like sugar. And if you know what brown sugar is like, it sort of tastes more like brown sugar, whatever. So those are, I need those mishalim. So one reason why I need to understand myself fully is because my understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only come when I extrapolate from myself. The Mekubalim say, it says by Eo, Mipsarei Echzalakai, from my own flesh, I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that the human body was built in a way that it mirrors HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can look at a person's self, let's say a person is very symmetrically built, and right and left are equal. That means something that we learn a lot from. The fact that the brain is the only part that doesn't have right and left, really. It's sort of very differently. It doesn't have that alignment. That teaches us something. The fact that the mouth doesn't have two parts. It's one part, really. If everything else, two parts, that teaches something. The fact that the head is above the body and connected by your neck. All of these things are mishalim that Kabbalah uses appropriately so, because a person was designed to be a dugma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one. Two, deeper than that. If I have a, if I'm looking at something through a lens, any imperfection, whether it's chromatic aberration or distortion in the lens, will color the water as well. We're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the core of understanding and knowledge of Hashem, is right and wrong. That's really an emes hashek in a very fundamental way, not just simply science and history. We're talking about right, wrong, very, very fundamental understandings of the Tov and Ra and the Bria. If I am a distorted person, whatever imperfections I have in my personality, I am going to project it onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chaim Shalevitz used to say in the Yad HaShemuz, where it says about Oso Ha'ish, that one Rabbi Yosef ben Tachlafta turned in, and Rabbi Yosef ben Tachlafta was very taken by the woman's generosity and said, she's a very fine woman. And Oso Ha'ish said, yeah, but the eyes are not pretty. Meaning he had taken Rabbi Yosef ben Tachlafta's words as meaning what she looks like, since she's attractive looking, and he commented that her eyes are not so attractive. So it says that Rabbi Yosef ben Tachlafta angered him, he said, Reka, and so on. So Reb Chaim asked, I understand that Oso Ha'ish himself was busy looking at the woman's features, but why did he respond to Rabbi Yosef that way? And he answered, the manuvel things that Ezer is also manuvel. In other words, you project on the others what you think. This is true with people. People tend to feel that other people have the same experiences that they have and the same sense of things. But deeper than that, it's when I'm dealing with right and wrong, when I'm dealing with right and wrong, I tend to project the way I see things on others. And therefore my whole sense of right and wrong becomes, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes skewed because I see it from my perspective. I was once speaking recently, a person came to me who felt very strongly that I had been wronged by somebody, by an institution of sorts, and the person told me the story, his version obviously. And usually when somebody tells you his version, you're usually convinced. This person, even when he told me his version, he was clearly wrong, and the institution was clearly right. And it was sort of a bit of Rachmanis, the person, so I didn't want to argue with him. I said, you know, I hear how bad you feel. You know, I think that on strict legal terms, at least the way you're telling me, it sounds as if there are standing off legal grounds, but I understand you're hurt and so on. So the person, I think, down deep also felt that they had no real case. And they got up and said, you know, I think also, the first time, I think the same way, that on legal grounds, I stand firm, and the other person did something that wasn't right, and it wasn't appropriate, and so on and so forth. And you know, these are the reasons why Mashiach is not coming, because of people like that. And so the person walked off, and that was it. But I was trying to think to myself, so this person took a personal grudge, which really didn't have all that much ground, and projected it onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashiach, everything. The whole world was dancing that tune. And this person will see the everything through that lens. So if a person is not perfected himself, it's not going anywhere. One more point. The justification for learning Kabbalah is as follows. And there's a saying they say over from Rishon Salanta, which maybe said, maybe not, but it certainly reflects a certain attitude. Someone asked him why he's not learning Kabbalah, which I'm not sure that he didn't learn Kabbalah, but certainly in his public persona, he wasn't learning Kabbalah. He wasn't preaching about learning Kabbalah. And he answered something to the following effect. What difference does it make how many malachim, strafim, or fanima? What I'm concerned is, all I need to know is that if I do wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hit me, and if I do right, he will reward me. That's a saying that from Rishon Salanta, quoted and so on. He was making a point that he felt people are shirking the main thing, which is an understanding of themselves, an understanding of right and wrong, and instead of running off into Kabbalah as an escape. A friend of mine was sitting at a bar mitzvah, this is going back 50 years ago, kind of, 50, 40 years ago. This was a Rav who had Chabad leanings, and he was a Rav in a shul that was extremely modern and really not, a lot there wasn't appropriate. And my friend came back and he was incensed, and he says, a man gets up in a shul that everyone there is dressed highly inappropriate at a bar mitzvah suda, and he's talking about Teferis and Gvur, the Bar Mitzvah, with this tilt and this. He said, why don't you talk about tzniyus? Why don't you talk about dressing properly? Why don't you talk about acting properly? Not talking and dominating, this and that. He really was very, very furious. But you know, I think that was the point of Rabbi Yisrael's words, that you know, you have to focus on many things and don't escape. But the flip side of it is, if I want to have that closeness of understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kabbalah is understanding the mitzvahs, the taima mitzvahs, not from my vantage point, so to speak. In other words, for me, matzah is very helpful because, you know, it's nice to be off bread for a week and so on. Or, you know, let's make it like something simple, or hilchos nida is good because it helps shalom bayis or whatever it is. It's understanding from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. The Kabbalah is an understanding that mimics from the root outwards instead of from the fruit inwards. It's not that I look around and see external things and extrapolate from the internally, I'm actually able to get a sense of the internal flow of things, the different midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he chooses to be megala in the different venues of mitzvahs. So in terms of getting that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it lies very much in that type of chachma. So going back to his main point, the Iker is Avas Hashem, and Avas Hashem is possible only if a person understands Hashem. You can't really love somebody if you don't understand the person. And so understanding means that I intuit his basic sense of things. There's a lesson in the Gemara about Bilam. You know, he had Dea Das Kono. So it says that he advised them about Pa'or. He said, Elokeim shel elu sone zima. I look at this question. He wasn't saying that there's halachas and shofarach, it's an isa gadol and isa chomer and the chaydes. He said, Elokeim shel elu sone zima. If I can take the pattern of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes and doesn't like, zima he doesn't like. So if I get them into znus mode, they're going to be, it will be bad for Kal Yisrael. That's the pshat Yodea Das Elyon about Bilam means he had that intuitive sense of what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes and what is it that he abhors. V'hine, Moshe sh'nesav ha'boim shalom b'midbar, v'omad b'soydois rabo shigal Hashem in Sinai. There's Moshe Rabbeinu, who was misnabe 40 years in the Midbar, and he knew so many great sodos from Sinai. V'hu amar famous sod, he said before he died, Ata chalosu l'aras es abducha es gad l'cha. You've just begun to show me your greatness. V'hine ata hochol v'her l'gdot Hashem. V'zeo emes, he says, it wasn't a kind of hyperbole. Kilu dula sein cheka, Kadosh Baruch Hu's dula has no end to it, and so on. I want to add one more point to this that I think is very important to round out the picture. You know, when someone tells me that you can never know it, then basically my reply is, what's the point of it? I don't have an infinite amount of years, literally infinite amount of years. So if I'm not going to get it, I'm taking a course in college, and they'll tell me it's such a hard course, no matter how hard you work, you're going to flunk. So I might as well go to the park and feed the pigeons. I mean, what's the point of it? So one of the things I guess I would like to use a mashal is, you know, we have concept fractals, which is an infinitely repetitive pattern that every small piece of it has the same configuration as the big piece. So you've seen these designs. I mean, it's a kind of a famous concept that's, I know, it's been in the last decades kind of, where people see this, you know, they find these, and it's like in snowflakes and this and that, where there's an endless repeating pattern. It's like a seashore, where the big picture and the smaller picture and the still smaller picture and the still smaller picture, they all have the same type of jaggedness in the edge. So what it means is, I can know things. Let's take something in the history of scientific knowledge. Newton's physics has been discredited, but it hasn't been discredited. Newton's physics is correct, but it's a subset of something more correct. It's not universal, but it's emis within a certain context. And once things have been established a certain way, we don't destroy it usually. Usually we understand it as being a smaller piece, a much bigger picture. Torah is emes, and a person who learns through a sugya and he knows it has a piece of emes. He doesn't have the entire emes, and in a much, much, much bigger picture, he'll see a lot more. But it's not as if it was wrong. So every piece that we learn and acquire that's real, that we learn something, and it's a complete unit, there's an emes there. You're foolish if you think that's the end of it, but you definitely have the confidence you have something. Okay, we'll hold it here.